Lord God, please let what I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen.
Amen.
God is holy, and we are made in the image of God. So if you take anything away from this sermon this morning, take this. You are holy. You know, the scriptures today all seemed very clear and straightforward. Leviticus gives us a guide on how to treat others. And the psalm is a reminder of how blessed we are and we will be if we turn away from wickedness and embrace good. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians reassured the people that the gospel message was brought to them with the best of intentions, and that following the message, the apostles loved and cared for all the people to whom they brought the good news. But there's this one line from the collect this morning that really gave me some pause for thought. It reads, "Make us love what you command." It's literally a prayer asking God to force us to do something, and it kind of flies in the face of free will. I'm going to save the free will discussion for some other time because we could be here all day, believe me on that. But that phrase raised a question. Why was a statement of surrender of our will to trust God's commands so necessary in the mind of the writer of the collect? And you know, I wondered that until I watched the news. What would the world be like if we truly followed God's commandments? Especially the two greatest commandments given to us in the gospel this morning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. What would it take for us to really follow these two commandments? You know, now I think I understand the plea from the writer of the collect asking God to make us love God's commandments. Because God knows, literally, that left to our own devices, we put ourselves first, and that God and others often take a back seat to our wants and to our needs. You know, how good would it be if God just made us want to do the right thing every day? Imagine all the people living life in peace and respecting each other and being genuinely interested in the education and the health and the success of everyone so that everybody, all of us, could thrive together. You know, I think that most of the time what God really wants from me is just to be the very best Jamie that I can be. And I think that God wants for all of us to be the very best versions of ourselves that we can be, happy and healthy and joy-filled people who are at peace with one another. But apart from God making us perfect, how do we get there? Is faith and hope and charity really all we need? Is love all that we need? You know, perhaps it is for some. But I think for the rest of us, myself included, we need a little bit more structure in order to succeed at being the best people that God has created us to be. We need to hear God's commands, but our obsession with earthly thing, I think, blurs the focus. I think we lose sight of the commands. Given the option, for example, most of us find it easier to follow a list of rules than to depend on our own best thinking. I mean, for instance, some people are very disciplined to go and exercise their bodies without, you know, any prompting or any encouragement. And the rest of us join a gym and go take a class because we are better at doing some repetitive things to following the directions of others who are trained to guide us. Here's an idea. When we engage in a spiritual workout, what if we adhere to the top 10 list of how we should live? I mean, after all, a guide for loving God and our neighbors, that's what it is. Perhaps if we started with the Ten Commandments and actually followed them and then held each other accountable, we could make some progress in creating a world where we all really could live as one. Did you ever notice, by the way, that the first four commandments are really more about our relationship with God And then the last six, those are laws concerning our relationship with each other. Seems kind of simple, right? Today, Leviticus gives this little snippet of the Ten Commandments, but it focuses on the ones that concern our relationship with each other. But beyond today's snippet that we get from Leviticus, Leviticus contains arguably about 613 laws to be followed. So do the math. Moses gets 10 commandments from God, and then we go from 10 to 613. Now, if that is not an example of human rationalization at its best, I don't know what is. But just for some modern perspective, do you know that there are only 27 ratified amendments to the U.S. Constitution? And the first 10 were right out of the gate in 1789. They're known as the Bill of Rights. But before we applaud ourselves for all of our restraint, note that there have been 11,539 proposals to amend the Constitution since 1789. Because we evolve slowly. I digress. Let's get back to Leviticus here. Out of the 613 laws, amazingly enough, 365 are commandments to abstain from taking negative actions. You know, that's one for every day of the year. And then there are also 248 commandments to act in a positive manner. 248, of course, being the number of bones and major organs in the body. And I'm thinking, who came up with this number? I imagine them writing the laws, and when they exceed the number of bones in the body, they're thinking, we need to add some more to make it work out. How many organs are there, by the way? You know, maybe they got to that law about not blending fabrics together because they needed to make the number match. I'm kidding. But these laws do have a purpose, okay? And the intention is to give us some very specific directions and a rule of order for living. I mean, but who could memorize such a list, let alone keep them in mind every single time that they opened their mouth or took an action? But rules of order are written for our own good. And over the centuries, a lot of religious leaders founded orders and they wrote rules of life so that we might follow them and become the best people God created us to be. The spirit is in the right place. Lucky for us, we're Christians. Jesus told us that the two most important commandments were to love God and to love our neighbors, because everything else hangs on these two. You know, even with all my human frailties, I can usually manage to remember and to follow the two most important commandments. There are not 613 and not 10, but just two things that Jesus tells us are the most important guides for life. And you know, I still need God's love and I still need God's mercy when I can't manage to follow even these two. Leviticus gives us kind of a short version of how to keep these two great commandments. And I modernized the language a bit. But here are some ways to love God and each other. Be fair to everyone. Even if you disagree with them, even if you don't like them, play fair. Treat everyone equally, regardless of how much money or power they have or what's in it for you. Give all people what they deserve without prejudice. Tell the truth. Come whence it may, cost what it will. And do not seek opportunities to cash in on the hardships of others. And above all, show some humility and remember who you are, but more importantly, remember whose you are. Love your family, yes, even the ones you don't like. And help each other out. Gently correct others when you have the opportunity. Because if you do not teach, if we don't teach each other, if we don't share our wisdom, then it's partly our fault when others fail. We need all of us to thrive together. You know, this idea of teaching and sharing wisdom with each other comes directly out of the line from Leviticus that reads, "You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself." So if you look up reprove, it means to gently correct. So I'm thinking, I know a pretty good, timely example of how you might gently correct your neighbor. Thanksgiving's coming. Every year, people go out and buy turkey fryers. This results in about 1,000 fires every year. So, if you see your neighbor with a turkey fryer next to their house on their wooden deck, and they're holding a frozen turkey, gently go and reprove your neighbor about basic fire safety, lest they catch their house on fire and perhaps yours. And then, yes, you would feel pretty guilty. Okay. Where am I? I lost my place. Next, if someone does you wrong, seek justice and forgive them, and don't take revenge. Don't hold a grudge, because life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those that make the journey with us. So be swift to love. Make haste to be kind. And you know, if I've learned anything in life, it's this. If you want to become brilliant, if you want to be a brilliant person, brilliance requires creativity. And if you want to have wisdom, well, wisdom, that requires patience. But love requires nothing. And it gives us everything in return. And God is love. And finally, remember that God is holy. And we are holy. Because we are made in the image of God. Amen.